those are examples of like the beginning of the call, and then there is an end of the call. And I'm talking about the message. There's an end of the message that you leave. And the end of the message is always the same. And I did not put this particular part in the newsletter. So take note of this one. It is, you always say this same phrase. I'm going to be in and out, but you can try to reach me at, give the telephone number slowly. Again, that number is, and give the number slowly. Now, what do I mean by slowly? 801-785-6851. I didn't say 801-785-6851. Talk to you soon. Bye. Now, that's the messages that I get on my answering machine that I have to keep backing up and backing up and backing up before I get it. And if a person doesn't know the keypad on their telephone to know how to back up their voicemail, then the person has to go back and listen to that message again and again and again to ever get it. You know your number really well, and so you tend to say it a lot faster than you do any other number. Okay? So again, leave that half a second in between each letter, right? So 801-785-6851. That is giving the person time to write it. And that's what you have to do on that. All right, so I'll give you the whole thing again. I'm going to be in and out, but you can try to reach me at 801-785-6851. I'll give that to you again. 801-785-6851. I'll also try to catch up with you a little later. Very critical statement you just made. I'll tell you why in just a second. I look forward to talking to you, or talking with you. Okay? So the key things there is, I'm going to be in and out, but you can try to reach me at, and give the phone number. I'll also try to catch up with you a little later. I look forward to talking to you. Now, why do you say those two phrases at the end of every call? Because it authorizes you to call them back. And if you just leave the first part, give me a call back at, and you give them the phone number, then you've now put the ball over in their court, and you have to wait for them to call you back. And if you call them back, you're violating. Okay, you're violating their privacy because you told them to call you back. And then if you make the next step, then you're violating the privacy. But if you tell them that you're going to be in and out, try to reach me back at this number, and I'll also try to call you back, then what you're really telling them is that we're both going to try to reach each other back. Okay? And so then if you call again, it's not any kind of a violation. Three assumptions. Number one, never assume he has your number. I don't care who he is, how great a friend you are. And do not assume that your phone number was captured in his cell phone. That is a really, really bad assumption. Sometimes they are. I know that on my cell phone, if I have my cell phone turned off, which is most of the time, it doesn't capture the number. It just says call came in. Okay, so do not assume that someone captured your number when it came in. Second assumption, never assume that he heard your number the first time. Okay, so don't leave the message one time. And then the final assumption is always assume that your phone or his has a bad connection. And the whole message didn't necessarily go through. So many times I've cleared message machine and had part of a message cut off. Our area code just blipped out in the middle of it because of a cell change or something. So those are some of the details about leaving messages. And the other final point on this is don't leave anything of value after the phone number. Because very often when people have a lot of voicemails, like I'll get 20 or 30 a day and will not listen to the whole thing sometimes. Because after I've gotten the phone number, I assume they're hanging up. And so don't leave anything of value after the phone number.